to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Let's go and see the stars,
Milky Way. Hey, welcome back, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Got a couple things for you, or actually one segment for you. Very good segment. Know your limits and abilities, guys. You new guys, I'm not even going to say new guys. Everybody, you need to know your limits and abilities. But first, let me thank everyone that dropped me a supportive email. And, as one email said, I'll try not to have any Orson Welles moments anymore. So, thanks, Jorge, man. That was a great email. I appreciate it. So, we're going to move on. And if you have an iPhone, now everybody has iPhones or Android phone, it seemed like that is the smartphones to have, all right? Couple of apps for you, and I'm not going to go into detail. I'm going to wait and do that on a separate deal. A new one came to me from actually a new flyer here in the Louisville area. I don't know if you guys know where I fly out of Louisville, Kentucky. WindFinder. It is Android and iPhone. I'm actually using the non-pay version right now. There is a pro version. I'm not sure what the difference is. I may go ahead and buy the pro version just to be able to tell you guys a little bit more about it. Man, been spot on with winds, okay? Directions, what the winds are going to do. I'm not going to go into detail because I've only looked at it real quick and see. I don't know what you can and can't do with it. But go check it out, WindFinder, okay? I've talked about this one before. This is an iPhone-only app. I haven't found it on Android, but Motion X GPS. If you got an iPhone, this app is unbelievable. Got it, yo. Check it out. Talk about it at a later date. And there are other paraglider apps on there in these markets and stuff, but the two so far that I've found, this next one is PPGPS, is specific to powered paragliding. Still in development. I actually paid for this one, not very much. Like it too. It by far the Motion X is the thing to have, but if you just have an Android phone, PPGPS, go check it out. We'll talk more about that too. So, all right. I was on the Big Wheel List the other day, the Beach Blast guys. Talked to John. There's something going on down there. He's on top of it, is all I'm going to say. I still got to have him on about this past Beach Blast, see what his thoughts and things were about the past one. But it seems that I'm sure a lot of you have read the article. If you haven't, you can go to the Big List. And maybe I'll put a direct link on the Podomatic page. But I'm just going to say John is on top of the deal. So, wow. Okay, two more things here. Dave Purden's fly-ins next weekend. If you've never been and you're a Midwester, it's a great fly-in to go check out. A lot of experienced pilots, a lot of experienced pilots show up to this fly-in. So if you're new and you're looking to check out some equipment and you live with, and it's just outside of Cincinnati, I do believe. It's changed locations. I didn't go last year. It was at a different location, and I think it's at a different location this year. So go to USPA.org to get the correct address. I will try to put a direct link on the Podomatic page for the directions too. Dave's, or maybe I'll just copy and paste the, boy, they got me in trouble last time, didn't it? I'll try to put the directions on the Podomatic page. And then the Indy Air Hawks, guys, definitely a great place to go check out equipment and stuff if you haven't. It is in 2 weeks, so, and I'll put a link to their page too. So, but all right, we'll move on here. What I have for you, Terry Luckey and myself, we talk about knowing your limits and abilities, know when to say no, and the W's he introduced me to. Very cool, very cool. So, all right, that's it, guys. Once again, I want to thank everybody that sent the emails, the supporting emails, and greatly appreciate it. A lot of times I do this, I'm not sure if anybody's listening to me, but apparently it is. So, thanks a lot. I'll do my best to bring more quality information to you. So, that's all I got for now. Talk to you on the other side. Terry Luckey, FalconForestroke.com. Go check him out. Looking for a reliable four-stroke trike? There you go. Go check it out. Talk PPG Radio. My name's Will Jones. Talk to you soon. Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones talking PPG Radio. Once again, Terry Luckey is back on FalconForestroke.com. Want to talk about safety. He's got another little fly-in thing that's coming up in September, and somebody I really enjoy talking to about PPG safety and just general conversation. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Will, how you doing? Good to hear from you again.
Hey, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing really good.
If you don't know, that Will Jones is really an artist. I recently found out that he does, and tell me if I'm wrong, you do face painting?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, I'm a face painter. Yes, it is. It's it started off with just something to do with the kids, and next thing you know, I'm getting paid for it, man. Yeah.
What about the first 10 kids or the first dozen kids you did?
They were free. Do I need to say more? They were free.
Oh, you didn't have to pay them?
No, thinking it, you know, it's funny because I have it where I can pack up really fast and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Pack up and run?
Yeah.
Out of here. No.
Exactly.
No nerds. No,
you don't need to pay me. Have a good day. Yeah, man, it's really cool. It's been really fun, actually. And the biggest, that's why I tell a lot of people, yeah, I get paid and stuff like that, but man, it's nothing like seeing the kids get up smiling, thinking, you know, all right, they like that, you know. So, all about the kids.
It's pretty cool, actually.
Thanks.
When I first heard you did that, I thought, yeah, yeah, with some talent.
Well, I do the best I can. I practice a lot, let me just say that.
Practice on your own kids.
That's right. Sweet. Ooh, baby, you better go wash that off. Oh, boy. All good, though. Shoot. All good.
Yeah.
Well, man, how'd the flying go? I don't think I talked to you. How'd it go?
I think it was a record breaker from the standpoint of pilots.
Yeah.
We never got a good nose count. It was a 27 pizza fly-in. That's what I call it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
27 14-inch pizzas, and that's, they all went, and we never really got a good count on attendance. But I'm thinking 40 to 55 pilots, something like that.
Yeah.
Weather, not perfect. Winds, I should say. Weather was perfect. Winds were sporty much of the time. So there was probably 50% of the time we could, there was people in the air, you know, morning, evening. And, but, you know, you're near the beach, and that's what happens.
Yeah, right.
And it's not always sweet, but I think everybody had a good time. We had a good time.
From what I was reading for the guys on the big list and all the other ones or whatever, it was a great gathering and stuff. So, and it sounds like some of the guys actually did get some good flights in. So, you know, hey.
Yep.
You know.
I think everybody flew who wanted to.
Yeah.
And made the beach and, you know, made the run up and down the beach. So
yeah,
that was good.
That was good.
Cool. I mean, it was encouraging enough to certainly think about doing it again.
Good.
And,
good.
Yeah, I kind of lose track. I think this might have been I mentioned that last time. I lose track of the how many, and I think there was probably, this might be our fifth or sixth event out
mm-hmm.
there. So,
well, excellent.
And we're welcome back. Apparently no laws were broken egregiously, no air laws, so.
I love the answer you gave somebody about having one of these deals, and I can't remember exactly what the response was, but it's like, hey, you got a bunch of PPG pilots, so, you know, you may need to relax just a little bit.
this was a guy who was doing his first PPG fly-in at an airport here in Michigan. He's sponsoring something. In fact, it's coming up soon here. I'm not sure what the date is.
Yeah, it is.
And I would mention if I knew, but I just forget. But he wanted some suggestions, and I said, well, first of all, meet with the airport manager and lower his expectations.
There you go. Yes.
Right. Regarding compliance with rules around the airport.
Good call. Good call.
Yeah, and don't worry about them once they leave the airport, because they're not your problem.
Right.
Between them and the cops. Let them worry about it.
That's expert information right there. You know, somebody should pay you for that information, I'm telling you.
We do. Now, for example, we have another flying coming up soon, which we'll talk about. But this is more of a corn patch fly-in. And it's from an airport, but it's right in the middle of a bunch of beans and cornfields and woods and things like that. And there's also a dairy farm nearby.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, there's one kind of no-fly zone over a bunch of cattle. And so we'll mention that, you know, don't try to avoid this area here. But
Right.
So that's always good. Mention, you know, where the farmers or whatever, local homeowners have been upset in the past. The other thing is that because these guys use so much low flying, local citizens, just residents who live nearby,
yeah,
will call in, and they think that because they're unfamiliar, they'll think somebody's crashed.
Right, exactly.
And so they'll call the cops. So it's always good to alert the cops too and say, look, you know, there's going to be some unusual flight activity, and you know, not every low flyer is going to crash.
Right. Oh yeah, exactly.
You know, wait for the smoke.
Yeah.
Before you.
Well, let me give you a quick story on that. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Kankakee, you remember the guy with the PPC that had the smoke system on it and the cops came looking for a crash? Perfect example of what you're talking about. You remember, you were there at that one.
I might have been.
Yeah, you were there at that one. It was like, you talking about the spot, because he was doing a spiraling dive with his smoke system on, and that would have exactly what you said. It makes the locals didn't know any better. Somebody called and said, hey, what's going on? So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. We got a guy dead here, you know, smoking a hole in the ground. You better get out here with a recovery unit and get this guy up. But, no, you know, we just fly that low. We fly below, you know, in the cornrows and in the ditches and everything else.
Yeah.
And not everything's an emergency.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll jump right into, you said something about a second fly-in up there when we kind of briefly went over it last time you was on, about a farmer or something like that had an idea, and it sounds like it's a go.
Well, there's two things that I brought up, and one thing is we had to decide on, there's a local airport in Wayland, W-A-Y-L-A-N-D, mm-hmm. Wayland, Michigan, and that's the airport I train and fly out of.
Right. Oh, okay.
You know, Scott flies out of there, and Bob Bliss and a bunch of us guys fly out of the same airport.
Yeah.
It's a grass. There's basically two runways on the compass, north, south, east, west. And outside of that, it's all, you know, beans and corn and cows.
Right.
And, you know, some woods and lakes and things like that. Our fall flying typically has been at Holland, again, at the beach.
But yes.
We're going to change it up this year and move it over to Wayland at our home airport.
Oh, very cool.
And it's about 30 miles inland from Lake Michigan. And so it's a, anyway, that's where we're having the fly-in, which is going to be September 14, 15, 16. Come if you can. Have a good time.
Okay.
And, but what we were also talking about was a fly-in you and I had mentioned this about the, remember the beer keg?
Right, yes, yes.
The beer keg, it was also a corn maze.
Yeah.
The guy had invited, the farmer had invited us out. And, but we never got that to gel totally. I think
oh, really?
There was,
okay.
We were all, well, the conversation and the invitation took place in a bar.
Oh, okay, well.
And I'm not sure that all, that
well,
I'm not sure that everybody was on the same page on that, so
yeah.
We decided to maybe do that another year.
Try another year. Well, probably a good thing, too, because corn is like, I don't know if you guys, your corn's so short or whatever, like, you probably could see over the maze, but anyway, sorry, you know.
Hey, but we, like we talked, it's just for short people this year.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I take photographs of his maze every year, and he posts it up on his website, so.
Very cool.
So at least it's an interesting process, but the maze fly probably is going to be another year. So.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. That's a great idea. Sounds cool. I mean, you know,
it would be great fun. He's a nice guy, and it would be great fun. They have a lot of people out there, and of course, they would be interested. I think it's a deal where they have buses. They go into the Grand Rapids suburbs, and they pull families and buses.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it's a big deal. And in fact, it's one of those things where he kind of sold his cows off, and he's making his living more on the, you know, more on the maze event. You know, that time of year was combined with Halloween and all that.
Okay, yeah.
And then he is with the
cows. Pumpkin patches and stuff like that? That's like our You Pick It Up here that we have. They do a maze, and, you know, it's pumpkin season, and, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really out there. This summer, I ran into him, and he was, I don't know if it's suitable for your radio show or not, but he was picking up a roadkill.
Oh, was he really?
Oh, yeah, and he was bringing it out to the maze, and of course, he assumed by the time that the kids start coming out, these things would be skeletons, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, so the skeletons are all part of the Halloween thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So, we're hoping for good weather for that sort of thing.
That's
so.
Great. That's funny. That is funny.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's roadkill, not a neighbor's dog, so I guess that's good, you know, so.
Yeah, again, this is all conversation from the bar talk, so.
Yeah, okay.
Who knows how much is true, so.
All right, man. Well, okay, well, cool. Did you post anything on USPA, the events calendar, or anything to give the dates and everything?
I didn't. I should do that. My intent was not to have this. I wasn't going to necessarily publish real widely,
okay.
But
okay.
No, it's a good idea. I think I should put it on. I should put it on. Well, since we're on the radio show.
Yeah. Well.
I should put it on USPA.
Because I think most of us are probably looking, because we usually there's, you know, early Michigan fly-in, late Michigan fly-in, so. I'm sure most people are probably looking for, you know, the second one anyway at the end of the year, so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll do that. I'll put it on USPA. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it out there.
Okay.
They're going to have some interesting, one guy is actually talking about the Whalen Airport has a new member who is, or members, I should say, who are skydivers.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I know Brandon and maybe some others are involved in skydiving, and during the, you know, the blowout part of the day or the midday, that might be something interesting where they'll take up these divers. That'd be fun for us, anyway, to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Brandon just posted he got his A license or whatever. I'm not familiar with what they all are, but, yeah. Wow.
He's taking some training. He's bought some gear now, and, he's a crazy guy in the middle of it, so
wow.
He's a man.
Yeah, I had no idea he was doing that. I know one of the guys here locally, he just got his, I guess maybe A license or whatever. You know, he's renting gear now, but, you know, it's he kind of tosses up on the weekend, do I go skydiving or do I do the PPG? So, yeah.
Yes, the air hospice, I think Matt has done a lot of diving.
I had no clue.
And maybe a couple others over there, too.
Wow, okay. Yeah, those guys are crazy up north. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Love you guys, but y'all crazy.
Well, you're one of them.
Well, you know, okay. I'm not going to fight it.
Speaking of which, I just finished a machine today.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It's going to a guy in Louisville, so you're going to have a new flying buddy.
Excellent.
Coming up to get trained at some point, and heading your way. So.
Yes, I think Query, is that what you said his name was?
Mike McGuire.
McGuire, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, I tell you what, I can remember however many years ago it was just me, you know, slowly picking these guys up. So that's great.
Yeah.
And he's got.
He's not in the sport at this point, so he's
right.
He'll be new when he heads back toward Louisville, and you know, have some whatever training he accomplishes while he's with me. But
yeah. You know, I never did.
Look at you guys for some advice.
Yeah.
Good.
You train a guy here in Lexington, which is about, 60 miles away, 70 miles away, something like that. I can't remember, you know. Never did. I heard from him one time, came, and that was it. So,
That's the story we should talk about. I mean, as part of the safety thing, we should discuss.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up, actually.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we'll jump right into it, because I actually caught Terry a couple days. I was supposed to talk to him yesterday or whatever, got kind of busy, and talked to Terry. I wanted to talk to him about... I'm actually working on a video I'm going to put together here of safety, about knowing when to say no or your location, and I think Terry said something about weather and all that, so we're just going to have a little safety thing going on here, and I guess we'll get started there, Terry. So you want to go, I guess you want to go ahead and start? You said you wanted to bring something up, and I'll tell you my story at the end.
Yeah, you know, it comes to mind now. We as we talk about this, there's, you know, Jeff Cohen's book, certainly the PPG Bible, good resource for safety.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, maybe the best, even. You know, it's a great resource for safety. But in the real world, outside of, you know, books and videos and that sort of thing, there's a time when the students leaves the instruction and he goes home and starts looking at the flying field and the conditions.
Right.
And the rubber sort of meets the road.
Right.
And they have to make the decision as to when to fly and where to fly and
mm-hmm.
where this all comes up. And so we're talking about the Lexington guy, and while it's in my mind, this was a guy that came to me. It sort of surrounds the Matt Canada. Sale. I made a sale to a person in Nevada who unfortunately ultimately died of cancer in the past week or two. And when he became very ill, he resold his machine to a individual in Lexington.
Yeah.
So this person went to Nevada, as it turned out, picked up the machine, came through my place on the way home for some training. He had some fixed wing background and actually was quite an easy student. Picked it up quickly. I'm talking about the Falcon 4-strokes, where it was a trike, obviously.
Yeah.
And, in a few days, he was gone, and I was confident, he was confident, did a good job of kiting, had some flights, and some reminders of things to watch when he went home. And then he had a break in his flying time, and that work demands and so on. And so it was probably 30 days later before he got back around to kiting, and found himself in a park where he was kiting up and down the park, which was super. It was all going really well, and finally he decided on one of his kiting runs to just go for the launch. So he did. Got about 40 feet off the ground, hit a wire.
Holy crap.
With that kite. And ultimately, of course, he hit the wire, snagged his back tires straight to the ground, probably in some sort of parachutal mode, but regardless, he hit hard on the ground and had his feet extended from the trike when he hit, so his feet took the impact.
Yeah.
And in the end, he, through a bunch of surgeries and all that, he ended up with one leg amputated above the knee.
Holy crap. Really?
And out of the sport, the machines totaled. Pretty much, I bought back some of the drive parts that were good yet, and
yeah.
The glider glider was okay. But you know, there's a situation where you can train a guy to I use the W's, you know, woods and layers and water and weather and winds, and these are all things that I focus on as a lasting comment, I guess, when somebody leaves me. I said, these are things that are going to bite you once you leave the ground.
Right.
And that was the wires. And so it was a situation where it's really difficult to train around that. I mean, you build that into someone's sort of subconscious or conscious mind, hopefully, when they leave. And it's in the books and it's in the videos. And, repeated warnings, certainly, and lots of, you can go to the incident databases. You can find references to all of this.
Okay.
But it continues to happen.
Right.
And so there was an incident of, and again, recently, this was not one of my true students or one of my pieces of equipment, but where a experienced pilot, just today I'm involved in PPC business as well, Simon. I got a notice from a friend of mine who flies with a PPC guy.
Right.
One of my customers actually flies with a PPC guy, and the guy had launched into an apparent storm front. I mean, you look off in the distance and you could see some dark clouds and things were forming, but he thought he'd squeeze in a quick flight on property on his own land, or his own property.
Right.
He has a strip on. And often preceding a storm will be a type of gust front.
It's yes.
Called wind shear, maybe in some cases. But regardless, there's
nasty
things that are invisible that are sort of coming in ahead of a storm often. And he got snagged in one of those. Down on the ground, his machine's, you know, totally shattered. He had a really expensive four-stroke quad machine.
Yeah.
And it's completely shattered, his machine is, and he walked away. But it's, again, an instance where an experienced pilot, in this case, looked at a storm front and thought he had time for some fun yet before it arrived. And Jeff Golden covers this very well in his book. I mean, he talks about there's a time slot before a storm arrives and after a storm leaves that there's things up there you can't see.
Right.
And they'll bite you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And particularly on unsupported wings like we have, the para-wing.
Right.
Equipment. So there's never too many reminders. You know, the incident database is fine, but you know, you want to catch these guys before they do this stuff.
Right, exactly.
And that's what we're talking about today, I think.
Back to the storm front. 2 years ago, maybe, is it 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Slugger had that fly in. Andy, the Sky Rats, did you ever see that video when he showed that storm front? Man, I have got to see if he still has that on his YouTube video. And it's a perfect example of what you're just saying about. It was calm and cool, and all of a sudden, you see a guy flying off in the distance because he can't get down. You see these guys begging to get back to the field, and it's funny because I actually talked to the guy that was actually, he said, only thing he remembered, he said he came down on his reserve. Guys, I don't know if you have a reserve. I do. I fly with one. I figure I got one last chance, you know. But he was saying, only thing he remembered was being tossed around, and he threw his reserve, and it brought him down safe or whatever like that. I've been meaning to get in touch with him and talk to him about that, but yeah, that's exact weather. What'd you say? The three W's. What was it?
Well, I've got a lot of W's. Now I keep adding them, but it's weather, winds, woods, water, wires.
Yeah.
You know, these are the things that I try to. You know, we're trying to sort of put everything in a capsule as our parting word.
Yeah, right.
The W sort of seems to work for me.
Yeah. It's perfect. It actually is perfect. Gosh. You know, never really thought of it like that, but you're exactly right. You know, that's because my story is weather, there was woods, wire, and possibly water. I'm telling you, it was all of those. That is crazy. Wow.
And if you look at the flip side of that, all of those things there are unnecessary. In other words, you know, as we do this sport, I mean, there's a certain amount of risk with this anyway. And, you know, you can sort of calibrate the risk anywhere you want to. And, you know, I've heard it compares with on road or, you know, road motorcycling or, but all that's out the window.
Right.
When you start adding these items in, you
right.
say, well, okay, you know, it's a little gusty today. You know, once I get above the tree line, I'll be okay. Well, here's news for you. You got to pass through that rotor twice, once when you launch and once when you land.
Yes.
And so you've just taken all the other calibrations of risk that you've heard concerning the sport, tossed them out the window. Because you decided, well, I'm going to throw on this extra layer of risk because I think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you might be.
Right, might be, yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Wow, and that is a great way to break it down. You know, my story. In the W's there. Weather, hot, very humid. It was early morning. There was woods, trees to the left, trees to the right. There was even a wire and an unseen wire. And then more trees, and then there was water. Okay? Now...
you had it all going on.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I talked to the fellow, and the day before, a couple of days before, he had emailed me, hey, gonna be in town, blah, 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 like that. Okay. And, cool. Hey, maybe we can go flying at my, you know, where we fly at or whatever like that. And in a way, I kind of kicked myself in the butt because, you know, when you talk to somebody and just over the phone, you know your ability, I know my ability, but you really don't know the ability of the person that's actually you're talking to, you know, unless you actually fly with them. Like I fly with you, you fly with me, hey. But if somebody only thing you've met them is over the phone or whatever like that, and you start talking to them and you get this impression, oh, they know what they're doing. Okay. You know? And that's what I got. I got the impression, like, okay, this guy sounds very experienced. He knows what he's doing. No big deal. All right. Okay. Guys live in Louisville, Ohio River. It's Kentucky one side, Indiana on the other side. We have parks. We have riverfront parks and stuff like that. There is a park that's called Cox's Park that's down by downtown. Well, not quite downtown. It's actually, it'd be east of the downtown area. And, you know, myself and Jim, who lives here too, you know, we thought about it, but there's things that we figure, well, you probably shouldn't do that. We probably have to call Metro Parks, get in touch with them. It's probably not a good idea. You know, there is a field there, you know, that, you know, 100 feet from this where this person took off from, that's plenty of room. You know, a couple, two or three football fields, plenty of room. People play cricket in the middle of it, football, you know, basketball. Just plenty. No lines to worry about. You probably got enough time to climb out to get up over to the river and stuff. And, you know, you think, okay, is it a crowded, guys, you think about 103, you know, don't fly over a crowded situation. Well, you can probably, you can get away with that because it's the river and, you know, there was places to land. Calls me. Where are you at? Cox's Park. Really? Okay. That was the like a Sunday. Or no, Saturday. Okay. You going to take off air? Okay. I can't make it down there. Calls me Sunday morning. Hot and humid. Where he set up at, there was woods to the left. There was a line, a power line, I think it was, that was on down the way. Well, if he kind of went to the left, he would have been okay. It had to be a perfect takeoff. I mean, it had to be perfect. It was zero wind, humid, big guy, just had to be perfect. Now, I didn't go down and look at where, you know, his full takeoff and stuff. There was an unseen light pole line. I almost say it saved his life, okay? So he takes off. And this is the guy, this is when you have to decide, number one, is this the right place? Even though about 100 yards away, there's a perfect place where he could take off and have no problem at all, probably. You know, plenty of runoff, you know, everything. Okay. This is when I should have said, dude, And guys, you can't be afraid to do that. If you know it is not a good deal, stop the person, you know? Do yep. not let them take off. Do not let them show off, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's the word I should use. You don't need to show off in front of me. If you say you can fly, you know? But you start thinking about, well, this guy knows what he's doing. Okay, it's got to be a perfect takeoff. You know, I'm looking. I'm like, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, this is not going in good, I bet, you know. Well, anyway, has a problem starting the motor. You know, okay, this ain't going good. We got the motor started.
Ben Sark.
Yes, Ben Sark. Come to find out, he's on a wing. I forgot what he said the percentage was that he was over this wing. Really? Number two, he had to be 240, 250. Okay, and the motor that he was using wasn't enough, if you ask me, okay? And I'll try to keep the manufacturer out of it, but, you know, anyway. Anyway, this is what he's firing. He's got, you know, guys, I'll post a video and of this incident. It's a real grainy cell phone video, but anyway, so he takes off. And he goes, you know, wing comes up really slow. There's a no-wind situation. It's hot and humid. Okay, the wing slowly gets up. Okay, it's not popping up overhead. He's still running. You hear the motor. Wah! You know, he's on it. Running. He gets to a point where, you're not going to make it time to stop. He's still going. Terry, what is it when a belted, you know, motor rotates, you want to climb out to the right. He needed to go left, okay? Well, he's running. He's still on the motor. I'm like, oh my gosh, you should stop. You know, I'm just, all these things going through your mind. This is not going to end good. He gets flipped into the seat, takes off. He gets up probably about 20 feet, okay? He needed to go left. He was going right because of the rotation of the motor. I'm saying, oh my gosh. This is when he makes it past the first line, which I didn't, you know, like I said, I didn't go downwind to see what his takeoff area was. I guess he finally sees the second, it was a light pole line, okay? Which, I'm going to say it saved his life, because basically, he finally came off the motor, he dropped down, he got underneath it, you seen the wing crumpled over top of the line, the pole came down, okay? You hear it, and of course,
you know it's going to be a bad night.
Oh, the Poe! Oh my gosh! The Poe came down, and I was like, and, as a matter of fact, you know, it's funny because guys, and not really funny on the situation, but when you're filming something, unless your name is Dave, Dave Schultz, the camera drops and goes, so you don't see the aftermath of the wing crumpling, the pole falling, but you hear it in the background and you hear me say, you know, I'm thinking, and why I say it saved his life, believe it or not, you know, despite what the person says, a crumple zone didn't save his life, okay? This Poe saved his life, okay? Reason being is, okay, if he did make it over the second Poe, he had more woods that was way higher to get over, and on the other side of those woods was the river.
Mm-hmm. He had all the W's going on there pretty much.
Yes. And the moral of the story, you need to know, like you said, when to just say no. I mean, stop, you know? I'm hearing your story, I'm hearing my, and it's the same thing that caused an accident, that if you would just sit and think, hey, you know, no matter how bad you want to
know,
get in.
Now, was this guy fairly new? You think fresh out of school or whatever?
I don't know exactly what his training or his how long he had, but I'm, the way I understand, it was fairly new. I don't even think he had been flying a year. Basically, He trained one day, or he was in training one day. He was trying to train the next day, you know, or the next moment. One of those guys. Like I said, he made me feel like he was confident, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, he had been, and a lot of times you don't really question anybody, you know, what their training background and stuff is, you know, because it's like, okay, well, you're right. And
You do. You're exactly right. You know, I had a couple of situations. One when we were at Skyrat fly-in. A couple of years back, I was there, and it was midday. Most of us were pretty happy sitting on the ground and watching the buzzard fly.
Right.
You know, thermals going on, probably some gusty conditions, and otherwise beautiful day. And this one guy come putting down the line with his trike and his wing in his lap, and he said, why is nobody flying?
Oh, wow.
What's going on with that?
Yeah.
And it's a gorgeous day, and, you know, you guys should be up, you know, what's going on? And we just kind of chuckled him off, and as we do, and sitting around talking and changing the conversation. And meanwhile, he went down the end of the field. And the next thing you know, he's got his wing up, and he's over a knoll. We can't see this cart, actually. We can see his wing. He's up in the air. Well, he gets up, and right away, he's surprised, I think, by what the conditions are.
Right.
Aloft.
Right.
And he got into a mode where it's kind of a newbie mode where you'll do anything to get back on the ground.
Mm.
And, you know, he wasn't making forward progress, and he was circling and kind of ending back where he started out from, over kind of hovering over the field. And ultimately, made a really bad landing,
mm-hmm.
About where he took off from. And again, he was over the knoll. We couldn't see. A bunch of us ran out there with the trucks and so on. And, you know, he was fine. He was standing up. His machine trike and all that was junk.
Right, right.
He had landed hard. And in my mind later, I was thinking about that if one of us had said, you know, don't fly.
Right, yeah.
You know, or gone out there and laid on his wing. Or whatever it took.
Yes.
Because there was, you know, the decision not to fly was the right one, for sure, that day, that moment, anyway. And could have saved the guy a lot of grief, but you don't do that. In fact, you know, he was jeopardizing his life by doing this.
Yes.
As a bystander and as you sort of leave people to their own devices, I guess. And, I've never forgotten that. I mean, it was an experience. Had I been him, I wish someone had told me, I guess.
Right.
Don't do this. It's just not the right thing. You pull him off to one side and don't embarrass the guy, but say, don't do it. Why not fly a different day or a different area or something?
Right. And you know what? And I beat myself up for like I said, thank God the guy, he didn't kill himself or whatever, but very easily could have. I beat myself up. I said, hey, I guess it was my responsibility I should have said something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where that, we're all brothers and we need to take care of each other. I'm not sure where that all ends and starts, but certainly in that instance, I could have said more.
Right.
And
same here.
Yeah.
Exactly. Same thing.
You know, I have a story, my personal story that relates to that, actually, is I went to a fly, I just had a little event in the east side of the state one time, and I'm kind of giving it away here, but I had this is some years ago, I had there's a video out there, it's called Wing Shredder, you can look at that.
Oh, okay.
It's got unbelievable amount of traffic, at least it had in the past. I think last time I saw it was up 20-some thousand views.
Oh, my gosh.
It was me. Basically, what I had done is I had a fly-in. I was fooling around with a new motor. It wasn't running right. And just before dark, I thought I had things squared away, and I was going to go give it one flight. And everybody else had landed. I was sort of standing on the parking area.
Yeah.
Cameras out, of course. And it was a soccer field that we were flying from. And it was dark and late. And so instead of walking to the end of the soccer field, I walked halfway down.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the same situation where I launched underpowered on the motor. It was a HD120, and at my weight, I weighed 220 at the time, and I was sort of at the limit of that motor
yeah.
in good condition. Got up. You know, I had several opportunities to call it quits on that one, but I didn't. Off the ground, and the HE motor likes to turn to the left for maximum climb because it's a gear drive.
Okay.
And but I was tree trapped over there, and it was sort of a 90-degree tree line that I was. The right turn made sense to stay out of the trees. And right turn, full throttle, sinking because I was going against the torque, and circled back over my friends who were all sort of lined up there. And at some point in there, I knew I was, you know, I wasn't going to climb out of the situation. So I end up skidding down, crashing sort of right in front of these guys with their cameras, and actually sort of endangered the, you know, my buddies.
Right.
And it was one of those situations. It was just bad news from the start. The worst part of all that, not the worst part, but how it turned out was I was training at that time. So I was also an instructor, you know. And so I landed on top of a glider. I got one of my students had just landed. His wing was still laid down. I landed right on top of the wing he had just bought from me.
Oh.
And that's why they call it wing shredder.
Wing shredder, yeah.
His wing looked like... It looked like chicken feathers flying up.
I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to be laughing at it. Yeah.
Financially, it was an expensive.
Yeah.
Expensive last minute flight.
Oh gosh.
There again, it was the trees involved and bad decisions, and the bad decisions lead to bad results.
Right.
That you just I could have done, you know, just simply walked another 100 yards further, and none of these problems would have occurred. This really brings me to a point of triking in particular, where somebody new gets onto a nice big long area to take off from, and they, you know, of course, all instructors reinforce, if your wing doesn't look right, you know, hit the kill button. Kill button's your friend.
Right.
Knock your wing down and reset the trike particularly. It's you know, you're not sweating, you're not hot, just unstrap, go out and lay it out again and try it again.
Right, yes.
And, you know, and... But what happens is that when you had, you know, you got a half-mile runway and, you know, you go a few hundred yards down before you lay the wing down and do that a couple of times, well, pretty soon you're getting at a point where you're looking at the end and you're going, well, you know, I don't have all this runway left anymore.
Right.
I started with. And should I maybe, you know, sort of pack it all up and head back toward the beginning point? And that's where bad decisions can start.
Right.
It's where you have... You start out with a really all kinds of room, and now you have less room, and now you have some doubts. And instead of packing up and heading back to the beginning point, you mm-hmm. try one last time.
Right.
And you brought this up before. You know, when you're in doubt, you know, doubt means don't.
Right.
You don't do it.
Yeah.
And this isn't go-karting. It's aviation, and bad things happen.
Right.
That's just how it is.
And guys, don't think Terry's the only one who had one of those bonehead moments. I don't even think it's out there anymore, but Mr. Schultz, our friend Dave, with my bean field incident.
His camera never quivers.
Oh,
I can say that right
my
now.
Gosh. So I had one of those bonehead moments too, so, but yeah.
The bean, are we talking about beans here or not?
Oh, yeah, the bean field, the soybean deal where... In the same situation, I had a miss, wing was wet, didn't, you know, quite, you know, I was all, I can do it, no big deal, wing came up, and it's amazing how those soybeans will just grab a hold and say, please come and visit me, guys.
Soybeans suck,
yes, so there I am, kill the motor just in time. It was a nice, soft rollover. My buddy Dave comes up with one hand and camera in the other hand. Do you need help?
Yeah.
But Terry was there. He was the first one there to help me up. I mean, no. Wait a minute. To give me two hands to help me up. That's what I should say. Dave was the first one there.
Left hand is on camera. Left hand is for help.
Yes, exactly. So... Even I have had one of those bonehead moments that could have really gone bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, so I guess that's the point, you know, that people go through training and that's all good. You cover all the basics in training, you know, all the skills you need to learn how to to defy gravity.
Right.
But it's what happens immediately after that. I mean, I've just had enough experience with people that I know and really have come to like.
Yeah.
That then they have a incident like this, and
wow,
I don't know. It's not really. It's often not even on their first flight. I mean, they become more confident, you know, with their launching skills, and maybe they're observing, you know, some of the more technical flying that more experienced pilots are doing, and they ramp up their risk too soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, just because you see a guy flying over a lake and, you know, dipping his foot in, you know, you got your own brain. You just got to think about these things and sort of understand that, you know, it's working for him on this flight, but that doesn't make it a great idea.
Right, a great idea.
And it
right.
just isn't. And it's a, you know, reread the Bible. I mean,
yeah.
The PPG Bible. And all this stuff is in there for a reason. And on the incident basis, this stuff happens. And you look at it, you know, aside from the prop chops and things that happen on the ground, there's also a lot of consideration of what you do after getting in the air.
Yeah, after getting in the air, right, yeah.
It's a lot of serious things can happen there.
Yeah. Well, wow, man. Daggone. I guess we'll end there, man, because I could talk and talk and talk to you. It's getting later and later, but man, you know, like you said, guys, the main thing is safety. I mean, it's once again, you know, safety first. And think about it, you know, give me your threes again or your W's again. I know you keep adding them.
All my W's, I keep adding to them, but they're woods, water, wind, wires, weather.
Yeah.
Add what you want.
Yeah.
But the W's work for me. My students, hopefully I leave them with an impression of something they can stick in their mind that,
right.
You know, I used to fly around this lake and now I'm going over the middle of it.
Right.
Well, no.
Right.
You know, just think about it. It's one of the W's. Don't do it. They're going to, you know, this is something that will come up and bite you and prepare for the worst, I guess. Engine outs, that sort of thing.
Right.
And it does happen, so.
Yeah. All right, Terry. Guys, falcon4stroke.com. Terry, once again, man, thanks for coming on, and appreciate your time. I'm sure I'll have you on again, man. I'm sure I will.
I'd like that. Anytime you want, just give me a holler, and I'm always happy to talk to you.
Great. All right. Thanks a lot.
Hey, guys. So, know your limits, okay? Great. The W's never even. It's funny a lot of times, you know, I don't think of, you know, weather, wind, wires, you know, just go on and add your own W's to it. You just have to know when to say no. You know, the other day I went out and after the third try in getting in the air, okay, and it was the strangest thing. I've had one other day like that where it was not working. I mean, was not working for me at all. The wing would come up wrong. It was one time when I finally got the wing came up straight, and the wind was shifting on me in a really weird direction, and it would start one way and go another. It would die. I just said no. I didn't do it. You know, a lot of times you just got to know. You know, as bad as you want to get in the air, and I know it's, man. When you're out there, you got the free time. The weather seems absolutely perfect. There's a time when you just got to say, you know what, it wasn't meant to be today. You know, and I've been, I think, PPG for 5 years now. And I still sit there, you know, have the passion. I want to get. I got the time off, and I, you know, got off early, and the weather looks great. Going out to the field and not get any air. I've had that several times happen to me, and just say, hey, there's another day. You just got to know when. Like I said, you got to know your limits. You got to pay attention to everything. You know, if there's even there was one. There's a place that we go that. There's a wire. I mean, it's plenty of room, plenty of places to land and stuff. But I literally forgot about that wire and dropped my wing down 30, 40, 50 feet in front of it. But I forgot about it, you know? You know, that's what you end up doing sometimes, is because when you're in that PPG bliss up there and it's time to come in for a landing, you know, you forget about things, you know. You know, you try to park away from it. You know, are the biggest, baddest thing sometimes is, you know, you take and try to land right by your car, you know. Spot land by my car. Well, pay attention to where you park at, you know. If you park by a wire and you try to spot land, I'm telling you, you're going to forget about that wire at least one time. And that's all it takes, is that one time for you to be, you know, calling the fire department to get you out of the out of a tree or out of the wires, you know. So you got to know your limits, and that's what we were trying to talk about. So, all right. See you guys. I should be making a day trip next week, I think, to the Purdens. I'll be up there Saturday if the weather's right. And see you there. Come up and say hey if you're there. Don't be afraid to ask questions if you're a new person. Hey, even if you don't have equipment. Or if you have equipment and haven't had training yet, why don't you bring it to the fly-in? That's another thing. If you have equipment, if you know, a lot of you, you know, I know a lot of you looking for a deal or bargain to get into the PPG world, eBay and all that. If you bought equipment, bring it to the fly-in and let one of the experienced guys or some of us experienced guys look it over, you know, tell you what you got if you messed up and bought junk. I've experienced that too, guys. I've messed up and bought junk myself, so or just come and check out the equipment. So we will stop there and hope to see you all. Like I said, Dave Purden, the Air Hogs, in 2 weeks. Hopefully I'll see some of you guys at one of those. So thank you for listening. We will, like I said, try to have more quality information for you guys. And once again, I want to thank everybody for their support out there. And thanks, Terry Lucky, for coming on. Go check out falcon4stroke.com. Will Jones, talking PPG Radio. Appreciate it. Bye. I wanna fly away, yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to get away. I wanna fly.